I awake in the morning, I thank the Lord for His loving care, and I praise Him for all of life's blessings as I open up my morning prayer. And as I walk down through the garden, feel the presence of God everywhere. And I talk to my Heavenly Father as I offer up my morning prayer. My morning prayer brings me peace of mind. I have a Savior so good and so kind, and all of life's problems with Him I can share. When I offer up my morning prayer, sometimes my burdens are many, and it seems they're so hard to bear. That's when I take them to Jesus, and I know He'll answer my prayer. Morning and noon and at evening, I know my Lord's always there. But it's something about being early, I want to offer up my morning prayer. My morning prayer brings me peace of mind. I have a Savior so good and so kind, and all of life's problems with Him I can share. When I offer up my morning prayer, when I offer up my morning prayer, my morning prayer.
Amen. Gene, thank you very much. Yes, sir. Blessing. All right, very good. I'll take that one.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Got through it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Good. All right, very good. Was this, did you hear the guitar? Was this on?
Yes.
You could hear it. Okay, great. That did what, that wasn't coming through the monitors, and that's the thing that we've got to work on. Each microphone is its own setting now, correct? And so it's going to take a little bit of time to get everything set, and I don't think that was coming through the monitors as he was playing the guitar, so, but I could hear him sing well, and that's a great song, Brother Gene. Thank you for sharing that with us tonight. Okay, we're in Galatians chapter 1. This is going to have to be adjusted. So we'll take a few minutes here at the start of it and hopefully get it set. I hear myself pretty good up here in the front, and so we'll go from there. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us tonight in our brief study in the Word of God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the good time we've had tonight. Lord, it's been a little bit of it's been an adjustment to have the sound working through it, but I'm thankful for the equipment you allowed us to purchase and for the men that you've sent our way to help us with this, and we look forward to it, Lord, being such a blessing and a help in our church. Thankful for Brother Hardecker, the good report, Lord, about his going to the Philippines and his family. Thankful for the good song from Brother Gene, and God for the good prayer time. And now, please, help me. I want to say some things tonight that will be an encouragement and help to your people. Give me your grace, power. We'll thank you in Jesus' name, and amen. Now, last time we met, it was Hearts United last Wednesday night, and I did something completely different. We talked a little bit about how to get something from your Bible reading. We'll probably visit that topic again the next time we have a Hearts United meeting and continue on in that. But part of that, how to get something from your Bible reading, is just so that when you read your Bible, you can find a way, using some simple thoughts, to kind of get the gist of what's going on in the passage. The greatest teacher in the world lives inside of you if you're saved. The Spirit of God dwells within you. And He, of course, authored this book through the tongue and the pens of men. And so don't ever forget that. You want to always pray and ask Him for His guidance and help.
as you read the Word of God. Tonight, I'll make maybe one practical application from what we're going to talk about. But this may, what I hope this will help, I hope this will help you the next time you read through Galatians to maybe have a little bit better understanding of what Paul is doing here, what the Holy Spirit gave Paul to write to these churches. And remember, Galatians is not written to one local church, written to a group of churches in a country maybe the size of the states of Indiana and Illinois combined. And it was because of the urgency of the matter that the Holy Spirit of God directed him to write one letter to all of the churches. And we talked about that, of course, at the beginning of chapter 1. And last time we were here, a couple, 3 weeks ago, we were in verses 6 through 9. We looked at what Paul had to say about the false teacher and the false teacher's message. And remember, Paul was blunt and to the point about both the message and the messenger. Just look at it again in verse number 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert you, would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now here's where he's really blunt. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. He's talking about the gospel message that he preached when he came through there and established these churches. He's talking about the first time he preached the gospel there. He said, if myself or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. God doesn't repeat himself because he runs out of something to say. He repeats himself for sake of emphasis. And the emphasis here is pretty strong, folks. And there it is right there, blunt and to the point. If the gospel message, if you hear a gospel message, if it's any different from the gospel message that I first preached to you, it is not the true gospel. And he said, the messenger, be it an angel, be it myself. He referenced himself here. He said, if I go backwards from what I preach to you, if I change what I preach to you the first time I came, be it an angel, be it myself, or any other preacher, if they should preach a different gospel, let them be accursed, which we looked at, a strong word which means damned to hell. Now, folks, that's strong. I hope you understand that. Paul was not passive about the gospel truth. He was not one who said, you know, it doesn't matter what you believe, just as long as you believe in God. I've heard that now so many times, soul winning and knocking doors, that it makes me nauseated anymore. Doesn't matter what you believe, we're all headed to the same place anyway. That wasn't Paul's attitude. He said, if they don't preach the same gospel that you heard the first time, he said, let them be accursed. Let them be damned to hell. So the truth is the truth, and there's no room for compromise, especially in the context of the gospel. Now, here's what's happening in Galatians chapter 1, verses 10, and then it goes on into chapter 2, but we won't cover that much ground tonight. Those were some pretty strong comments from the Apostle Paul, right? Strong comments. So, in order to ward off any criticism of those strong words, or before anyone could say, in effect, who are you to say that? Who are you to say that, use that kind of language, say that? Who are you to say that? Before anybody has a chance to ask a question, the Holy Spirit leads him to defend what he just said. And Paul speaks to his former life before salvation. He speaks about his salvation. He speaks about life after salvation to help convince the people of the truth of those words, even though they're hard-hitting, even though they're tough, even though they're strong. Take a man who preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. That's strong language. So Paul says, the Holy Spirit leads Paul, now you need to write these words beginning in verse number 10. In verses 10 and 13 and 14, he talks about life before salvation. Let's read it, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men?
For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Verse 13, for ye have heard of my conversation, my manner of life in time past, in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. If you'd like to mark your Bible, verses 10, 13, and 14 are life before salvation for the Apostle Paul. Now look at what he said here. Before Paul's salvation, his main goal was to persuade and please men, not God. Persuade and please men. He was persuading them to reject the message of Christianity. That's what he was trying to do. And by the way, folks, he was famous for his success. Look at what he said at the beginning of verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion. Saul of Tarsus was not an unknown name. It was a famous name, or maybe we should say in our context, it was an infamous name. Okay, but I mean, he was known. And you remember when Ananias, remember when Paul had the experience? I'll talk about that in a little bit. Remember on the road to Damascus, and he's blind and he's in the house in Damascus, and Paul says, Ananias, you need to go over there and see the apostle. There's this fellow over there, Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias said, whoa, Lord, I've heard of him. His reputation preceded him. And Paul acknowledges that in verse number 13. He said, you know, he's not patting himself on the back here. He's ashamed of his life before salvation, but he's just stating a fact. You knew about me. Paul was famous for his success in persecuting churches. He was over the top in his persecution. Look at what it says, verse 13. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Beyond measure. Beyond what was reasonable. Paul said, I was over the top in the execution of the persecution that I brought against the churches. He exceeded the work of his peers. Look at verse 14. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation. His peers. He exceeded the work of his peers. Last of all, he was blindly loyal to the tradition of the Jewish fathers. Look at the end of verse 14. Being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Now, you know what he's saying here, folks? This is what he's saying. Now, bear in mind, he has just said, if anybody comes to you preaching any other gospel than the one I preached to you first, let him be accursed. Then he tells them in verses 13 and 14 that he used to preach another gospel. He used to preach another gospel, and it was not the true gospel. He promoted and he persuaded and he prompted men to reject the gospel of Christ and embrace the works of the law. So he himself, as a lost man, had been guilty of preaching a false gospel. And he reminded them of that. And he was not just some half-hearted nut. He was the former Saul of Tarsus. You all knew of me. You knew of my ministry, if you want to call it that. You knew of my message, okay? And remember, people, Saul of Tarsus, you know what? He really believed that he was doing God and man a favor by persecuting Christians. He was not an unholy man as far as the external matters of the law were concerned. You remember what he said over in the book of Philippians? He said, touching the righteousness which is in the law, the righteousness, the external righteousness, all of the washings and all of the offerings and all of the almsgiving and all of the external parts of the law. He said, when you touch those things, he said, I was blameless. You couldn't point a finger at me. You couldn't pick anything wrong. You couldn't nitpick anything wrong with me when it came to the righteousness according to the law, which is in the law. I was blameless. And so Saul was adamant that it was the right way. And so Paul preached another gospel than the one he had preached to them when he first came through Galatia. He had been one of those false preachers. Now, people, those who believe another gospel, which is not the true gospel, can be very convincing with their words and their life. And can certainly bring credibility to their message. I tell you what, I don't know about you, you call this what you want to call it, but I am just sick at what our country did in giving that swapping those five Taliban prisoners for that one fellow who walked off the base on more than one occasion. I don't know where the people in D.C., I don't know where their heads are. And I don't know how they talk about this boy, Mr. Bo, growing up in a Christian home, and then his daddy prays in Arabic at the White House. Did y'all hear that? Now y'all need to go on, y'all need to see that. And he looks like a Muslim. And he spoke in Arabic at the press conference and talked about claiming the White House for Allah. We swapped a Muslim for five Muslims, for five radical Muslims. That's what we did. It just, as an American, makes you want to move to Mexico. That's crazy. It didn't tell Congress. I don't know. But anyway, I'm just talking about these false prophets. I mean, brother, they're so convincing with their words and sometimes with their life. And their life can bring such credibility to their message. And many times, that's where I was going with this, they are full of zeal and they're fervent about their beliefs and they can argue their case flawlessly. And you know, my advice to you is I wouldn't argue with a Jehovah's Witness. I wouldn't argue with a Mormon. They knock on my door, just tell them you're saved, born again, got it all sealed, you're saved, sealed, and headed to heaven, and you don't need anything. And you say, well, I think you just don't talk to them. Because I'll tell you what, they can be very convincing. They study long and hard. It's a shame, but they probably study more than we do. And get grounded in their false doctrine. More than we get grounded in the true doctrine. So I would just say, you know, let them go on down the road. But listen, the bottom line is this. I don't care how flawless it sounds. I don't care how sound their argument sounds. If it is not the gospel of the death, burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, plus nothing and minus nothing, it is not the gospel of the Bible. Okay? And that's what Paul was saying. He was saying, look, I was one of those that preached the false gospel. I know I just used some strong language. I know I did verses, they weren't verses 9 and 10 or 8 and 9 back then, but that's strong words. So here he talks about his life before salvation. He preached a false gospel. Now, in verses 11 and 12, you got his salvation. Look at what it says here. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, what is he saying? The true gospel that he preached to them and that he's now writing to defend, he said it was not after man. What does it mean? What he's saying is no man revealed the true gospel to Paul. No man taught the true gospel to Paul. Everybody in this room who is saved, somebody taught the true gospel to you. Okay? Maybe it was dad and mom. Maybe it was a preacher. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was somebody at work and they gave you a gospel tract. But everybody here, some man brought you or talked to you about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some lady, some person, some human, okay? But Paul said, he wanted them to understand that the revelation of the gospel that he received did not come by way of man. Well, where did it come from? He said at the end of verse number 12, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ revealed the gospel to Paul personally. They say, where did he do that? When did he do that? On the road to Damascus. Jesus revealed himself to Paul. I believe Paul caught a quick but a transforming vision of the resurrected Jesus, which means he saw the wounds in Jesus' hands and feet, and there was no doubt about it. It was Jesus. Paul saw the crucified, buried, and now risen Lord. He saw him. This is why Paul could be so adamant about the gospel he preached. I preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and I've seen him. I've seen the resurrected Lord. So he preached against the false gospels fervently. After having seen the resurrected Christ, he was able to defend without doubt the true gospel. Jesus had been crucified, had been buried, now was raised from the dead, and Paul had seen him with his own eyes. I think very brief, but all you need is a quick glimpse of Jesus to get the picture. And so that's what he's saying here. He's saying, now look, he said, I was a false preacher. I preached a false gospel, okay? And I was pretty adamant about it. I was pretty fervent about it. But I want you to know that the gospel that I preached to you, no man, I didn't sit down at any man's feet and have them teach me. Jesus Christ revealed this to me, and that happened on the road to Damascus. Now, in verses 15 through 20, so as far as I'm going to go tonight, you got him talking about after salvation, okay? Now, I'm going to tie this together in just a minute. You remember, after Paul saw the resurrected Christ, he was in a house in Damascus, right? He was blind. That's when God came to Ananias and said, I want you to go see this man, Saul of Tarsus. Ananias said, whoa, he's heard many things of him. And God told him, he said, look, you go see Paul. He's still Saul then. You go see him. And I got a job for Paul, and I need to personally reveal this job and the details of what it's going to cost Paul to him. Now, that's in the book of Acts, chapter 9. God told Ananias, you go see him, and you pray for him, and you tell him that I need to talk to him. I'm going to reveal to him my purpose and my plan for his life. And by the way, the very thing he mentioned, the specific thing he mentioned was, I've got to talk to him about how he's going to suffer for my name's sake. And folks, I'm not sure any Christian in the Bible suffered more for Jesus' sake than Paul did. And God spoke, because he was going to the, and Paul had, God said, I'm going to tell him about this. Remember that happened, okay? So Ananias obeyed, and he put his hands on Paul, and the blindness was healed, okay? Now look at verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, heathen being Gentiles, you and me, okay? Heathen, among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now look at what he said. God revealed his plan and purpose for Paul's life. It pleased God, okay, who separated him from his mother's womb, called me by his grace to reveal his son on me. So Paul said, God revealed my plan, my purpose to me personally. Then he said in verse 16, I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. Paul did not seek the approval of any person in Damascus or any of those apostles in Jerusalem. He didn't seek. God came to him and said, this is what I want you to do, Paul. And he said he didn't go to any of the Christians in Damascus to say, do you think this is right? Do you think this is okay? He didn't run back to Jerusalem where Peter was at this present time, and John, and so he didn't run back there at all. He didn't confer with flesh and blood at all. Look at the end of verse 17. But I went into Arabia. Now, we don't know where in Arabia Paul went, but Paul, after God, through Ananias, after Ananias came, put his hands, prayed for him, and God spoke to Paul's heart about his plan and purpose, evidently, Paul went to Arabia and he got alone with God. He had studied at the feet of Gamaliel as a young Pharisee to learn the law. But you know what he had to do now? He studied at the feet of God somewhere in Arabia. Now, maybe he had some Old Testament scrolls with him. Maybe he had some of the parchments that had some of the Old Testament manuscripts written on them. Maybe not. But brother, when he went to Arabia, what he learned was fresh from heaven. Fresh from heaven. And that's exactly what he's talking about. See, he's setting the stage to defend his strong comments. He just said, if a man doesn't preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, if he preaches anything other than that, he needs to be damned to hell. Folks, I'll say it again. That's strong language. If you and I use that kind of terminology and anger at somebody, that's profanity. Right? Wouldn't do that. That's so he's got it. The Holy Spirit says, now I want you to come back. I want you to address this with these people before they have a chance to say, well, who are you to say something like that? And so he went right to Arabia. Look at verse 17, the end of the verse, and returned again unto Damascus. Don't know how long he was in Arabia, but when he left Arabia, he went back to Damascus. Look at verse 18. Then after 3 years, so he's in Damascus for 3 years, he sees the resurrected Christ on the road to Damascus. He is on the way to persecute the churches. He sees the resurrected Jesus. He's blinded by the glory of Jesus Christ. He goes to a house. Ananias comes to pray for him. The shackles fall off of his eyes. He can see clearly, and through something that was said there, God revealed to Paul his plan and purpose for the Gentiles, and then he took him out to the remote place somewhere all by himself, and God evidently worked in Paul's heart and taught Paul and visited with Paul and must have shared with Paul all of the things that Paul was going to face and suffer for Jesus' sake. I believe that's why in Acts 20, Paul said in verse number 24, you know, he said, I know that when I go somewhere, I'm going to suffer for Christ. He said, I know that bonds and prisons await me, but none of these things move me. They don't deter me because God had already told him. God had already shown him. God had shown him in the desert. Paul, you're going to take the light of God, of the gospel to the Gentiles, but you're going to have to suffer. And so Paul got all this. So he's back in Damascus for 3 years. Now, verse number 18, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I abode with him 15 days. So he spent 15 days with Peter, verse number 19. But of the other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. So the only other apostle he talked to in Jerusalem was James. That's the son of Alphaeus. That's not the son of, that's not John's brother. Okay, the sons of Zebedee. That's the son of Alphaeus, a distant relative of Jesus Christ, not the brother of John's. He visited with James for a little bit. He visited with Peter. Okay, then look what he says in verse number 20. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Man, he nails it down. Now look, he said, I want you to know that my belief about the gospel of Jesus Christ was not the result of what some man taught me. God revealed this to me personally. And folks, that's okay, because we didn't have the completed canon of Scripture in that. They didn't have the completed canon of Scripture in that day. God was still in the process of revealing His Word. God doesn't come personally and take us out now without any Bible or anything and come down and sit on a rock and talk to us. This is how He talks to us now. He talks to us through the written Word. But Paul didn't have all, he didn't have any of the New Testament. It's the first century, just a few months after Jesus died and was resurrected. And so God, he said, look, he said, no man taught me this. He said, God revealed this to me personally. I was going to be the apostle to the Gentiles, so I had to personally see the resurrected Christ. I had to learn about the ministry that God had for me from God Himself, and that's what God told Ananias He was going to do, and that's what God did. Now, and He's using this to the Galatian people to say to them, when I say to you, if any other gospel is preached unto you, let the preacher of that gospel be accursed. He said, I'm telling you that I didn't catch this from a man. I got this directly from God. Amen. Directly from God. And that's why he said, if I have if I reverse my course and go back and start preaching the gospel of the works of the law, then I need to be damned to hell. He concluded himself in that. Now listen, let me talk to you just a minute here about something. We talk very highly of the Apostle Paul, and rightly so. But friend, can I say this tonight? Do you realize how transforming it is for somebody to see Jesus Christ? Physically see Him. Paul saw Him. I mean with his natural eyes. I know Paul did great works. I know he was the most influential man outside of Jesus in the first century. But he saw Jesus. He saw Him. Which reminds me of what Jesus said in John chapter 20 and verse number 29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen Me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And you know, I'm not trying to take anything away from what the Apostle Paul accomplished. But Jesus was talking about those of us who would be saved after that. That's you and me. Those that by faith in the message of what is written in the Word of God have believed. Blessed are those. You and I received the words by faith and we believed and Jesus commended that. And I'm not saying that you take anything away from the accomplishments of the Apostle Paul or that we consider ourselves close to what he accomplished. But Jesus did say, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed in some small way. The fact that you and I have believed without seeing is something a little bit more special than what Paul had. Because Paul saw him. I've not seen Jesus. Even after sausage pizza and Coca-Cola, amen. And Oral Roberts never saw Jesus either. Amen. Nobody's seen Jesus. But Paul saw him. And Jesus said, you know, I'm glad those of you that have seen me have believed. But I'm going to tell you that the blessed ones are the ones who haven't seen me and still believe. And by accepting the truths in this book by faith, we, you and I, can please God in a way that Paul could not please him. And I'm not suggesting that we walk around now and say, yep, we got one up on the Apostle Paul. I don't think I'd try that. But I'm just here to say this. Sometimes we make comparisons of ourselves with other Christians and other ministries and other this and that never turns out for good. Comparisons are not good, folks. They're either going to do one of two things. They're either going to elevate you in your thinking or they're going to take you down in your thinking. And the truth of the matter is, I can't shine the Apostle Paul's shoes. He wore sandals. I couldn't latch them. I couldn't touch them. But I haven't seen Jesus, but I believe. And Jesus said, blessed are those that believe and have not seen. So maybe in some small way, you and I have just a little thing that the Apostle Paul couldn't claim. And I'm not saying we claim it in pride. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, you know what? Every person is called of God to his particular time, place, ministry, and everything. We just need to be the person that God wants us to be. Let everybody be the person God wants them to be. And just be glad that we're saved and we have an opportunity to serve the Lord. You know, that's what I'm talking about tonight. By accepting, by believing what God has written because God wrote it, we can please God in a way that those who saw Jesus couldn't please him. So I'm just saying, you know, look, serve on in the field. Serve on in the area. Serve on in the ministry in which God has placed you. Live for God. Live to please him. And you do please him when you accept by faith the written revelation in this book. Yeah, but boy, I read what Paul did and what John did and Matthew. They saw him. You can't tell me that seeing him doesn't do something for you. We've not seen him with our natural eyes. We've seen him by eyes of faith. And that's very pleasing to God. Now, all the way back to verse number 10, we're done. Look at what Paul said. At the end of the verse, he said, for if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Paul learned the true gospel by revelation from Jesus Christ. And then Paul set his face like a flint and preached it. And that's why he said, if myself or an angel from heaven or if any other man preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that the fear of man bringeth a snare. And I tell you what preachers have to do. Preachers today have the full revelation of God's written word, and we should be no less fearless to preach truth as Paul was. You know one reason? Because truth sets people free. It sets people free. So that's what Paul, I just hope that what we talked about tonight, the next time you read through that part of Galatians chapter 1, it kind of all ties together with what Paul was saying. Why did he go through that little timeline in verses, 11 through 20 there? And it continues, actually, because he's got more. And this is all led by the Holy Spirit to establish Paul's credibility because he said something pretty tough about those who would pervert the gospel of Christ. And by the way, that's still true today. It really is. Let's stand together. Thank you for being here tonight and for working with us on this new sound system. I like what I'm hearing, and I hope you do too. And let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll help us to serve you. Lord, we realize that without faith, it's impossible to please you. And God, we have faith in your word. Faith we haven't seen you, but we have faith, Lord, believing that you are who you say you are. We have faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for salvation. And according to what we've been taught, learned from this chapter and other chapters, Lord, that pleases you. Help us to live by faith, not to make comparisons. Let every man, Lord, make full proof of his own ministry and serve you with a clean heart. God, just help us in these days to be faithful. Thank you for the gospel that was given to us by some person, and it was revealed to us. The Holy Spirit opened our eyes and hearts to it. We could be saved. What a blessing. Help us to live for you in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just a moment.